Page 27.
Poltergeists. It happened one night in the 1970s in Thornton Heath, England. The Brown family was asleep and everything was quiet in the house. Suddenly, a strange loud noise was heard. The noise came from the radio in Mr. and Mrs. Brown's bedroom, and it woke the family. "Who switched on the radio?" said Emily Brown, surprised. "Why is it so loud? What is that strange noise?"
"I don't know," answered her husband Daniel. "I was asleep, like you were.
Please switch that terrible noise off."
Their son Robert appeared at the bedroom door.
"You woke me up," he said sleepily. "Why is the radio so loud? Who switched it on? It's 3:30 in the morning."
"That's a good question," said Emily. "None of us switched it on. So, who did?"
"Perhaps we've got a ghost in the house," said Robert, laughing.
But the Brown family soon discovered that there was nothing to laugh about. During the next 4 years, all kinds of strange things happened in their home. More than once, the Brown family found objects on the floor, for no logical reason. Once it was a beautiful lamp, another time a valuable vase. On Christmas Day, 1972, the family was in the living room, opening their Christmas presents. Suddenly, someone, or something, threw a heavy ornament across the room. It hit Daniel and cut his forehead. Daniel screamed in shock and pain. Emily and Robert turned to see who threw the ornament. But there was no one there. Suddenly, the Christmas tree in the corner of the room began to tremble violently. The Brown family now began to suspect that a ghost was living in their house.
"What does the ghost want from us? How can we live like this?" Emily cried. She was angry and frustrated.
It was a noisy, sinister ghost, and the neighbours called it the Thornton Heath Poltergeist. Poltergeist is a German word, and it means noisy ghost. New Year's Day came, and again the poltergeist played tricks on the family. They all heard loud footsteps in a bedroom above. But when they went upstairs into the bedroom, there was no one there. A few nights later, Robert ran into his parents' bedroom. He was very frightened.
"I woke up and a man was staring at me. He had an evil expression on his face and he wanted to hurt me," he said, trembling. "He was in my room and he was wearing old-fashioned clothes. It was terrible."
Emily and Daniel looked in Robert's room, but they didn't find anybody there. On another occasion, the Brown family was sitting with guests in the dining room. Suddenly, they all heard someone knocking loudly on the front door. Before anyone could open it, the door opened by itself. Then the lights came on in every room of the house. The guests were very frightened.
"The poltergeist is playing his tricks again," Emily explained to the guests. "What does he want from us? Why is he doing this to us? We can't continue living like this."
"Other families lived in this house. Did he torment them?" asked one of the guests. "Or does he only do these things to you?"
"We don't know, but we suspect that he's trying to frighten us because he doesn't want us to live here," Daniel replied angrily.
The Browns decided to do something about the problem, and they asked the church for help. A priest came to bless the house and expel the Thornton Heath poltergeist. It didn't help. A few days later, the poltergeist played tricks on the family again. The neighbours began to talk about the poltergeist, and finally, the local newspaper came to investigate the story. The family described to the reporters what it was like to have a poltergeist in their home.
"We sometimes hear furniture falling to the floor," explained Emily. "Objects fly through the air and we hear strange noises. But when we go to investigate, nothing is out of position."
"The poltergeist is just playing tricks on us again," added Robert.
"This is a great story," said one of the newspaper reporters at the end of the interview. "Our readers will love it."
"It's not great for us," said Emily. "We've had enough. If things continue like this, we'll have to move to another house."
Finally, the family consulted a medium. Mediums are people with supernatural powers, and they can contact spirits. As soon as the medium was inside the house, he closed his eyes. He felt vibrations in the room, and he concentrated on them. "Yes, there are spirits in this house," he said. "I feel them strongly. A farmer called Chatterton is haunting your house. He used to live in this house, and he thinks that you're trespassing."
"Trespassing? Why? We bought this house, so it's ours," said Daniel angrily. "Other people have lived in this house since Chatterton. Why is he tormenting us?"
The medium closed his eyes and was silent for a few moments. Then he spoke with his eyes still closed. "Chatterton doesn't like you, Mr. Brown, and neither does his wife. I don't know why. We can't always explain things. He's tormenting you because he wants you and your family to leave his house." The family examined old documents and discovered that the medium was right. A family called Chatterton lived in their house in the mid-18th century. But then things became worse for the family. A new poltergeist, Chatterton's wife, came to stay. She was an elderly woman with grey hair. Every time the family looked at her, she disappeared. But they knew that she was still there. Two poltergeists in the house were too much for the Browns. They moved out of the house in Thornton Heath, just as the poltergeists wanted. After the Brown family left the house, it seems that the poltergeists left too. A new family bought the house and were very happy in it. The house in Thornton Heath was never haunted again. Another English poltergeist became famous in the late 1970s. This time, the haunting happened in Enfield, North London. Again, it started at night. Peggy Harper was a divorcee in her mid-40s. She lived in Enfield with her four children, Rose, 13, Janet, 11, Peter, 10, and 7-year-old Jimmy. In the middle of the night, the girls' beds started moving. The girls were frightened and called their mother. But when Peggy got to the bedroom, the beds weren't moving and everything seemed normal. "The girls are imagining everything," she thought. But the next night, the family heard strange noises and the sound of knocking on the wall. They all began to feel frightened. At 11 o'clock, they decided to phone the police, and a few minutes later, two policemen arrived at their house. While one policeman searched the house, the other stayed with the Harper family in the living room. Suddenly, a chair started moving from one side of the living room to the other, reported the policeman. Then it started to move towards the kitchen,
as if someone were pushing it. But nobody was pushing it. It just moved by itself. During the next few weeks, things began to get worse. The family continued hearing strange noises and knocks on the wall, but they couldn't see anyone or anything in the room. "There's a poltergeist in the house," someone suggested. "It's responsible for all the strange events in the house." One evening, an enormous, heavy box moved across the floor. When Peggy Harper saw this, she quickly took her children out of the house and ran to a neighbour for help. "Can we come in?" she asked. "We can't stay in our house while such strange things are happening there. It's very scary." Some curious neighbours went to search the house and garden, and soon they also heard the strange knocking on the wall. "It's definitely a poltergeist," they said. "There's no other explanation." After that, many people visited the house in Enfield to see the poltergeist in action. They weren't disappointed. An invisible spirit threw toys and Lego bricks around the house. When Peggy touched the toys, they were extremely hot. "Wow, that's so exciting," said one of Jimmy's friends. "Why can't we have a poltergeist in our house?" "It's not exciting at all," replied Jimmy. "It's scary. We never know what the poltergeist is going to do next or when." In September 1977, the family contacted a man called Maurice Gross. He worked for the Society for Psychical Research. This organisation was established in 1880 to study supernatural events. Gross came to the Harper's house to investigate the strange events there. "A book was thrown at me, but there was no one there," Gross said. "I also saw doors open and close by themselves." A writer called Guy Lyon Playfair joined Gross to investigate the events. The two men moved into the Enfield house and studied the poltergeist for 2 years. During that time, the poltergeist was very active. "The knocking on walls and floors happened almost every night," said Playfair. "Furniture moved across the floor and sometimes fell downstairs. Somebody or something took papers out of desks and threw them on the floor. We saw toys flying through the air. Someone pulled our blankets off us when we were in our beds, but we never saw anyone do it." "It was very strange," added Gross. "Water appeared on the floors for no reason, and small fires suddenly started and then stopped. Rose and Janet were regularly thrown from their beds, sometimes many times in the same night. Life was never boring in that house in Enfield." Playfair wrote a book about his experiences in the Enfield house. He called it "This House is Haunted." He also asked many mediums to contact the poltergeist in the Harper's house. "All the mediums sensed a supernatural presence, but they couldn't agree who was responsible." Sometime later, a medium was finally successful and contacted a spirit in Janet's body. "My name is Joe Watson," said a loud man's voice. "I come from the local cemetery. I lived and died in this house." Playfair videoed the strange scene of the young girl speaking with a man's voice. Afterwards, Playfair and Gross read the local archives and discovered that Joe Watson was a real person who once lived in Enfield. It wasn't easy to live with a poltergeist, and it affected the whole family. Janet was a clever, mischievous girl with a vivid imagination. As time passed, Janet's personality began to change, and her mother was frightened that the poltergeist activity was affecting her daughter's mental health. Janet was taken to a psychiatric hospital for tests.
All the time she was away, there was no poltergeist activity in the Harper's house. When she returned home, the strange things started happening again.
Maybe Janet is responsible, some people suggested. That's why nothing happened while she was in hospital.
I think she taught herself to speak in those loud men's voices, said one of her school friends.
Were all the strange events in the house in Enfield caused by Janet? Was she trying to attract attention? That's what some people think.
But how could an 11-year-old girl move heavy furniture or start and stop fires? How did Janet know that a man called Joe Watson once lived in her house? And what was the explanation for the hot toys and for what the policeman saw when he was with the family in the living room?
Perhaps there really was an Enfield poltergeist, after all.